ran to Eli, "Here am I, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and he lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. And at that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons had made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until the morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here am I." "What is it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me everything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." Then the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all of Israel. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the testimony of Samuel and Hannah, and really your testimony of faithfulness to us through this story. Open our eyes and our ears to hear. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's the story. And, you know, if you read the little children's Bibles, it'll show Samuel with his ephod on. And every year when Hannah would come to the temple, she would bring the new priestly garments. And it's a good children's story because we can see the children, and we can kind of, the children can envision themselves in Samuel's place serving and ministering. But that's kind of the way it progressed, and Samuel served. And I don't, like I said, I don't feel that it was make-believe. I think I really feel that Samuel served. And this moment between him and God really confirms that from that moment on, Samuel, in fact, served as a child. Samuel was selected, not because of his pedigree, and not because he had the right to be in that position, but because God, through Hannah's faithfulness, chose Samuel to use him and make a point for Israel to know that he won't let the temple be profaned, which was what was happening through Eli's sons. So as we look at this real quickly, recognize that God chose this boy despite everything that was really kind of against him. He didn't deserve to really be in that position. He wasn't a priest. He was a boy. But God chose him to make good on a promise to Israel and fulfilling the covenant. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had yet not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Now, as we look at this initial opening, most scholars and people believe that this is Samuel retelling the story. I would tend to agree with it. There's a couple of reasons, some of the details. And then the insert about Samuel not knowing the voice of God yet, that seems like Samuel probably stuck that in there to kind of justify why he didn't recognize God's voice. But I believe that this is Samuel retelling the story. But when you look at this first opening, I want you to kind of envision what's being said and what's being put on display. You have Eli, who's getting old. The word of God had not come to Israel. In some translations, it said the word of God was precious. And here it uses the word rare. So that the Israel had not really heard from God for quite some time. And that could be the result of Eli and not taking care of his sons when they were taking care of the priestly rites. But nevertheless, Israel had not heard from God. So you have this whole story being opened up with the fact that Israel hadn't encountered God in any way in quite some time. So the word was rare and it was precious when it came. Then as the story continues, you see Samuel, this young boy, he's sleeping in the temple right next to the Ark of the Covenant. And he was probably separated by the curtain, but nevertheless, he's in the temple. He's sleeping there. He's resting. That's where he lives to a certain extent and ministers. And then you have this vision and this statement saying that the candles had not yet burned out. Now, when you look at that, that could be the actual candles that were burning in the temple. But I tend to look at it because this would have been written for Israelites that are in captivity. These would have been people that would have been reading this later down the road. That the candle of God had not yet gone out. And for me, that says that the hope of God making good on his covenant had not yet gone out. There's a kind of a sense of a metaphorical language there. That yes, the candles probably physically had not burned out yet for that night. But nor had God's hope burned out for Israel. And God's hope is in fact coming through Samuel. So when you look at that first opening, recognize the details of what is being said there. And when I think about Eli, I used to see really good. And now I have to wear glasses, and Steve, he's worse than I. but I can appreciate Eli's losing his eyesight because it's frustrating. But you can kind of sense that this is Samuel, and he's telling the story for people to know. And really, just important for him, it's just important for us. That even though sometimes we don't hear that word of the Lord, we hear a bunch of stuff. And sometimes the solid, proclaimed word of God is rare. But there is still that flicker, that burn, that there are those people that will profess and proclaim the word of God so that just like Samuel, his words won't go without account. They won't just fall to the ground into the dirt. In fact, they'll hold on. They'll hold on in people's hearts and in their lives, and they'll testify to that word that God spoke to them. And that's what it means when it doesn't go to the ground. Because the point being made there is that all of Israel heard. Just like when we hear God proclaiming into our lives, we hear. And that word becomes value. And it doesn't go to the ground. And we proclaim it to somebody else. And that's what's being said there. And when it's opened up that it was rare. But just like in Samuel's story, the word is coming. And it had not yet burned out. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered. And I'm not going to go through that whole section, but we can kind of get it. Samuel didn't recognize God's voice at that point. He was young. He says there himself, he hadn't heard the word of God. goes to Eli three times. Eli finally connects the dots, has enough sense to tell him the right thing. Go back. Tell God your servant is listening. He goes back, says what he's told to say, and God tells him, this is what you're going to tell Eli's house. And not only that, we begin to see the rest of that story unfold. And there's some practical points I want to address when we look at this story. And I think they are very important for us this day and age. Everything in this world is really vying for us. Vying for our attention, pulling us this way, that way. The holidays tend to be the worst of those things. Family is pulling us this way and that way. Between Facebook and TV and media and everything that we are presented with, and I don't want to sit down there and say, go, you know, throw all your phones and stuff in the stuff, but this stuff is all buying for us. It's trying to take our time. And the practical thing to be known here is that we have to make space for God. In fact, we have to find that quiet place in the temple near God's promise, near that ark, and discipline ourselves to give God that opportunity to meet with us. And so when you think about what's happening there, we read it as a quick story, but I can guarantee you that there was no, what's the new we? But there's even another we coming out, right? There wasn't no Xbox or Wii in the temple. There wasn't a texting. There wasn't Facebook. There wasn't Twitter. There wasn't all this stuff. There wasn't Skype. There wasn't all that stuff there next to Samuel in the temple. He wasn't playing the video game, waiting on God. No, he was in a quiet place. And I think that speaks to us that really if we want to give God space in our lives, we have to discipline ourselves to give God space in our lives. Turn off the stuff. Don't respond to the text. When you set that time aside to God, I promise you, God will meet with you there. No doubt in my mind. When that becomes a discipline, and this is some old school stuff from Wesley coming in, but I think it's so important for us to hear this day and age, and especially in the season of Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the things, we need to make space for God so that God can meet with us. And when we do that, we block out that chunk of time in our lives, whether it be in the morning or in the evening. It has to become a habit in our lives so that God knows that we're sincere about this and that we open his word. And mind you, this is God's word. I can tell you the place and the time in my life when I realized that this was not just black and white on paper. Furnace in Stein Lane, Pennsylvania, 2004. When I realized that this wasn't just rice paper with black and white letters on it. That this was, in fact, the Word of God. And when we set that time aside to look at this, God speaks to us. And I think of the students and in the dorms and how difficult that has to be. Find that place. God, in fact, wants to meet you there. And I promise you, he will give you words that won't hit the ground. As I studied this passage, and I've preached on it a few times before, but as I was going through it again, kind of recycling it in my mind and my heart and trying to look at it again in a fresh way. There was a point that I had missed. And I want you to kind of think about the New Testament reading about Thomas and how he was in that place of doubt and God met him there and said, touch me. Put your hands in my hand. Put your hand in my side. When Jesus met with him. And as I make the point here in this section here, I want you to think about that in relationship to Jesus and the slight change in the story. And it goes back to the three times that God called Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. And the three times he went to Eli and he didn't know what was going on. That fourth time, that picks up at number 10. I want us to spend just a slight bit of time here and we'll start closing out. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, your servant is listening. Do you see the change? The three other times, it was just the voice of God. Either Samuel had only perceived that it was the voice of God, or there was only the voice of God there. Whatever the situation may be, there was only this, the three times before, it was only this voice of God being spoken into the situation. And however that may have played out, either Samuel didn't recognize that God was standing there, or whatever it may be. There's a change here where God is personified as standing in the presence of Samuel, or vice versa. Samuel now is in the presence of God, who is standing there calling him. And I had not recognized that in my previous readings of this passage, in that God was there. There's a resoluteness in that story that God stood there and he said and he called Samuel. And this is the word I have for you. And just for us, too, God wants to stand in our lives. He wants to meet us and stand there in our living room. And when you remember the story in Thomas, Jesus stood there with them and he said, put your hand into my side. Put your hand onto my hands and fill them. There's times when God wants to make that stand in our lives. But we got to give him that space to do that. And he wants to speak to us, just as he spoke to Samuel, so that that reaches out to other people. And it never escapes me, but that this word that was given to Samuel really had nothing to do with Samuel. It had everything to do with everyone else around Samuel. So really, in closing, and as we get ready to take communion, the holidays are here, and all the stuff of the world really wants to take our time. Find that place to have that quiet time with God. God wants to meet you. God wants to stand next to you and give you a word. I promise. There's no doubt. My life would testify to that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. And we thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that we would take serious our time and our time with you. And I thank you that this story testifies that, in fact, not just Samuel, but our lives, you want to stand next to us. You want to meet us. You want to make a firm statement to us about who you are and your care for us. Be with this congregation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.